Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music. What a blessing it has been today. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Luke in chapter 15, the book of Luke in chapter 15 on Revival Sunday. And I believe this is a passage of scripture that God would have us to look at this morning. The revival of a prodigal son. The revival of a prodigal son, or if you will, a last chance, a midnight hour revival. Luke chapter 15. If you would, go ahead and stand with me. We're going to be reading verse 11 down to verse 24. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. And let's pray. Father, as we bow before you, we love you, Lord. And again, we thank you for the privilege of being in church today. And God, you know exactly what's taking place in each one of our lives. And God, I pray as we look into this passage of Scripture and we preach from this your truths and biblical principles, I pray, God, that you would use it to light a fire in each one of us, to encourage us and strengthen us. And I pray, God, for that one here today who might be in desperate need of revival. I pray, God, that during this message that you would just continue to speak to them, your spirit bearing witness with their spirit and leading them to do what they need to do to be revived. Bless now, for this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Last chance. Midnight hour. Revival. Now, biblically, as we look to this passage of Scripture, this is a parable of the lost son. As we look to this and read this, that's what it would be looked at as a parable of the lost son, known as a prodigal, because the word prodigal means one who wastes. And this was a son that wasted all of his opportunities and all of his goods and every blessing that his father had bestowed upon him. Verse 13, it says, and went to a far country and there wasted his substance with righteous living. Now, this is a parable. As Jesus presented this to the disciples and to those that were listening to him, he did not have a certain boy in mind. He did not have a certain father in mind. We find when it is a real life situation, the Bible will say that it was a certain man or a certain situation. This is not that. It's a parable. A parable is an allegorical relation, or if you will, a representation of something real in life or nature from which a moral is drawn for instruction. Now get a hold of that. Now, it's important that we understand that. This is a parable, an allegorical relation or representation of something real in life. This is not real in life, and so as a parable, you can learn a lot of different truths from this parable. Now, some might have preached this as being a lost young man who gets saved spiritually. I looked at this prodigal son as having a father. I looked at him as having a father. He was a son. And so the son had backslid. He had run from the father, if you will. And he is going to be restored. But again, it's a parable. So you can read it and you can get many different things from it. But it's a representation of something real in life or nature from which a moral is drawn for instruction. It is here for us to learn biblical principles and to be and learn from the instructions from this parable. Not real, but a real truth. This prodigal, he had a father. I believe he would represent a saved individual. Verse 17, the Bible says, "And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger.'" This prodigal would have fallen as far as he could go in this life. All alone, no family, no friends, weathered by this world. Now, I want you to envision that in your mind. That's what the Bible would have you to envision. I mean, he is on the verge of death. We would picture somebody that had been caught up in this world, who possibly was raised in a Christian environment, a Christian home, and now they have run from that, and now they have identified with the world. Possibly tattoos all over in our world today. That's what would have happened. Would have had different types of earrings and nose rings and tongue rings and all the different things that the philosophies of the world and what the world would have influenced him to have received. This would have probably been somewhat, could have even been addicted to drugs. If you would think of somebody down in the alleys of downtown Annapolis and not even going to the missions have rejected them and possibly have addicted to drugs and had all sorts of needle marks all over their arms, had wasted away to nothing, possibly having STDs and all the different things of this life. Satan had worked this boy over. He had gotten him to the very last place in life before death. Had nothing. Had nothing. On the verge of death before revival. Amen. You see, as long as you have breath in your lungs, no matter what you have done to yourself, what you have allowed the world to do to you, the devil to do to you, if you have breath, there's a chance of revival. Revival, to raise from depression or discouragement, to renew, to return. revival. Wow. God doesn't give up on us. I mean, he continues to work. He continues to bring opportunities into our lives. He sends somebody, something, to get us to a right mindset, a right way of thinking. Wow. It would have been his last chance. But there would have been many other chances before this. With being a saved person, can I tell you, you can choose to rebel against God. You can choose to run, as we find throughout the Bible, of those running from the will of God, even prophets, Jonah, running from God. A prophet, because he didn't want to live the life. He didn't want to do what God had instructed him to do. And he was rebelling against whatever God stood for, whatever God's will was for his life. And he was running from that. God didn't give up on him. If you're God's child, he's not going to give up on you until it has been evident that you will not repent. You will not seek revival. And only God knows that. Some, it's earlier. Some don't have many opportunities. It's very early on in the rebellion, and God sees that and God takes them out. God just says, I'll not allow my child to represent the world and to be living in the world. God has a different plan for his children. Now, if you're saved, you're God's child. That will never change. When you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, he redeemed you. Jesus Christ's blood forgave you of your sins. He sent the Spirit of God to dwell within you, to seal you until the day of redemption. You're his child. He deals with you differently than he deals with a lost person. Lost person will not have all those opportunities before it's too late, like a child of God's will. You can block out the conviction of the Holy Spirit, but it's going to be there. You know what's right, whether you want to yield to what's right or not. You know what's right. It's instilled within you. And you try to drown it out, and you can do whatever you want to do. And yielding to the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life and getting involved in the world. But if you're saved, you are different than a lost person. You have God inside of you, and he will not allow you to continue in that direction indefinitely. Some will have a longer rope, if you will, than others, but none will be able to do it indefinitely. And Satan is out to destroy you more than he is to those that he already has control of. He can get more out of a child of God's to discourage other children of God. Yeah. There would have been many other chances before this with him being saved. There would be an inward awareness of what he finally allowed himself to realize. It was always there. It was always there through it all. And at the last moment, in midnight hour, the last chance, the Bible says, he came to himself. Yeah, he came to himself. When he came to himself, that means that his thinking changed. And as soon as his thinking changed, and God knows the thoughts of our hearts and the intents of our hearts, he knows what's taking place in our lives. And as soon as he had this change of mind, that is a repentance toward God, the angels rejoiced in heaven, for he would not die. But God would send revival. He came to himself and he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? He realized where he was at, And he realized, he come to himself and knowing that his father could sustain him. He realized the wealth of his father could sustain him. No matter how far away from God you have traveled, no matter how destitute you might be, no matter how scarred you are from the world and the flesh and the devil, God can still sustain you. The Bible says in Philippians in chapter 4 and verse 19, my God, when you look to him back as your God, shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Yeah. You serve a God who can revive you. You serve a God who can forgive you. You serve a God who can restore you if you turn back to him. Verse 18, the Bible says, as proof of his repentance, the Bible says, I will arise and go to my father. He made that decision that he would leave where he was at and he would go to his father and he will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Acknowledged he was wrong. God was right. Instead of running from God, he ran to God. You see, that's where we need to get eventually to get this revival, to have the forgiveness of sin. There has to be this awareness of who God is and his ability to forgive and sustain me. And I have to have this repentance of realizing that I did wrong. I put myself in this situation. Everything that has befallen me is because of my sin, my wrong decision, my wrong thinking. I come to that place to realize I am wrong. God is right. Turn back to him. And along with that, verse 19, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. He was not worthy of his father's forgiveness. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He would desire whatever the father had for him. You see, if you desire whatever God has for you, you'll never get to the place of needing revival. But when you are revived, you will have got to the place where you'll want whatever God's will is for your life. And there was revival. His other chances for revival. Now that's what happens to him. And the Bible talks about that. He tells us what he did to get this revival. His other chances for revival. First of all, in verse 12. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. He demanded for his father to give his inheritance. Can I tell you, he was in need of revival right then. Because we know what he did as soon as he received what he wanted from the Father. As soon as he had the finances that he said he wanted ahead of time for this inheritance. Now, we find that the Father went ahead and gave both the sons the inheritance. The one knew what he wanted the inheritance for. It was not just to be able to continue the family business and to continue to serve his father and do his father's bidding. You see, this younger here, when he commanded, he asked his dad, he commanded that he was given this inheritance. It reveals that he was already on a road going away from him. He's already had wrong thinking. He had discontentment in his heart. He was unthankful. Yeah. Thinking he was possibly missing out allowed other things to occupy his thinking, allowed Satan to put these suggestions in his mind as if that you don't have to live this way. There's so much more in life. You're being restricted by your parent. You're being restricted by the commandments of God. Instead of being content with what you have, you lost sight of the blessing of family and the protection and the wealth associated with God, thinking he was missing out, no control over his desires. He was in need of revival right then and there. You see, when you ever find yourself being unthankful, can I tell you, Satan's working on your mind. He's working in your heart. If you ever find yourself as a child of God being discontent, Satan is working somewhere. He's blinding you to what you have. He's got you focused on things that you shouldn't be focused on. The things that you're focused on is taking away your contentment. In order to be content, and this is so true, I need to have all that God wants me to have, and I need to be thankful for what he has given to me. If you're not thankful for what God has already given to you, don't expect God to give you more. We have to be thankful for whatever it is, thankful for the health that we do have, thankful for the finances that God has provided for us, thankful for whatever it might be. And as we are thankful to God for what we have and we desire what we have, if you don't desire what you have, you'll never give thanks for it. And so when you're thankful for what you have, you'll desire what you have, then God can give you more. But if you are not thankful and you are not desiring what you have, then you are going to be set on a wrong path and you're going in a wrong direction. Whether it's in your marriage, whether it's in your home and family, whether it's in your church, you're going in a wrong direction. You're in need of revival right then and there. And the sooner you realize that, and you do what he did in verse 17 and 18 and 19, and you do immediately what he did eventually, you'll save yourself a lot of scars. You'll save yourself a lot of disappointments. You'll save yourself having to try to make up for how you have harmed others and disappointed others that love you and that care for you. And want the best for you. Yeah. The sooner would have been the better. He could have and should have sought revival earlier. There's no doubt in our church right now, in this congregation, there are some right there. You just need to acknowledge it. Satan wants you to blind you to it. But if you're unthankful, if you're discontent, all these different things leading to wanting to run from God, you need revival. How do I get it, preacher? The same way he got it. Come to yourself. Change your thinking, realizing that you've allowed Satan to put thoughts in your mind that you need to get rid of. You've allowed this ungodly desire to take over your mind and your heart. Get back to understanding who you are and who God is and what God has for you. It's not only the right thing, it's the best thing for us. You see, in this life, God has given us and he has us here for work. Amen. You see, payday's coming. We're working today and we're storing up our riches in heaven. And God has heaven ahead of us. And we need to look into the Bible and see what we have to look forward to. Heaven is going to far exceed your greatest expectations. In this life, it is work. And yet God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll give you the grace whenever you need it. I'll empower you. I'll equip you. And you will be able to accomplish what I have you there to accomplish. And there is such joy in knowing I am on the right path, serving God, accomplishing what God has me to accomplish. There's joy in that. There's blessings in that. Unless you're blinded to them. Unless you're not yielding any longer to the Spirit of God, but you have allowed this suggestion and the spirit of Satan and the spirit of this world and this old nature to take over your thinking. Yeah, started right then. That's a parable for us to see. Am I there? Do I want to wait and get to a last chance? Is that really where I want to go? If you're saved, you will eventually get there or you will leave this world. Do you really want to get to that place? If you're there now, there's no better time for revival than today. Right now. Get rid of it. Ask God. I mean, turn back to Him. He came to Himself and He realized what he was missing out on. And then he was determined, I will arise and go to my Father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned. I want what you have for me. I'm not worthy to be called your son. I just want whatever you have for me. Amen. And I'll appreciate it, and I'll give thanks for it. That's what I desire. Well, we find in verse 13, he didn't do it at the first chance. Then not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country and wasted his substance with riotous living. His journey into a far country. How far are you wanting to get from God? How far do you think you can run? You've heard me say a lot of times in church service, I can tell when people are really, Satan's working on them in the services, sometimes just where they sit. You know, when they get saved and they get excited, they want to sit up front. Amen? They don't want to miss out on anything. Don't want any distractions in front of them. The closer you are to the front, the less distractions ahead of you, the more you can focus on the Word. Amen? And they'll leave from here to the back row. And then they'll go from the back row to the balcony. All you up there, you're just one step away. Yeah. And now, not everybody. Okay, I understand. It's not everybody, but typically this is what's going on. They're trying to get as far away from the preaching as they can. And then they start missing. When they have opportunity to come Wednesday night, they'll start missing that. Not everybody has opportunity, I understand that. But those that do, they'll miss that. And then they'll start missing on Sunday night. And then they'll start missing on Sunday school. And before you know it, they just keep getting farther and farther away. Because when they're here, they come under conviction. Amen. They come under conviction because they're hearing the word. And if they get far enough away from it, they can be distracted. They want to be distracted because they don't want to hear the word. They don't want to come under conviction. They just want to get as far away from any conviction that would keep them from enjoying what they want to do, their lifestyle. He didn't want any hindrances to a worldly lifestyle. Because in his mind, he thought, I want to enjoy it all. He's feeding right into the devil's suggestions in his life. Can I tell you, the world, the flesh, and the devil are all liars. And once you get out there and you get into it and you realize sometimes it's, make you feel like it's too late. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. I'm almost done here, so follow with me. John chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Jesus wanted us to know that. He told his disciples, he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. He's going to find pasture. He's going to be fed. He's going to be fat. He's going to enjoy life. He said, but, in verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And the world and the flesh and the devil are just the opposite. They come to kill, steal, kill, and destroy. You see, when you're trying to get away from the influences of God is a sign that you need revival. Yeah. He needed revival and could have sought it. Now, what would he needed to do? What would he have needed to do at that point in his life? All right, he didn't do it to start with, and now he has gotten as far away as he can from the Father. He still has the money. He's somewhat thinking he's enjoying life because he's doing what he thought would lead to joy and happiness. What could he have done? He could have done the same thing that he did later on. Yeah. But without being in the last conditions, without being where he was and ready to die and all the scars and weathered, he could have. But he didn't. He didn't. Verse 14. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. And he began to be in want. You see, now he's run out of money. And now he has experience enough to realize this is not what I thought it'd be. And maybe my father was right. Maybe I was wrong. It's starting to set in. His eyes are starting to be opened. No money, nothing to offer. As he's thinking that he might have been wrong, now pride is his worst enemy. When you get to that place and you realize maybe mom and dad knew more than I thought they did. Maybe the preacher was right. And yet pride keeps you from admitting you were wrong. God was right. I guarantee you, your mom and dad don't want you to hear, I told you so. Can I tell you, this preacher never wants you to hear, I told you so. I don't want to be proven right by your lack of faith. Your parents do not want to be proven right by your lack of belief. It's a devil working in your heart and working on now the pride of life to keep you from doing what God wants you to do, what he wanted you to do all along, and that is seek revival. What you need to do at that stage, you need to do the same thing that you did at the last state. You need to confess. You need to get back to right thinking. You need to repent. You need to go back to the Father. Let him know that I was wrong. I'm not worthy. I failed you. He needs revival. But the pride kept him from it. And then in verse 15, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country and sent him into his fields to feed the swine. The worst thing that could have happened to him. For a Jew to be amongst the swine. And he would have fain filled his belly with the husks. He would have died trying to survive on husks. And he would have died with the swine in the fields with no one around. No one who would care for his soul. That's where he was at. And that's where we'll get if we continue to run from God. But he came to himself. He came to himself, and when he did what he needed to do to get right with his father, we find that there was forgiveness and there was celebration and there was rejoicing in revival. You see, when that happens to one of God's children, there's joy in the presence of the angels. And this is the father's thinking toward his son. And when he's yet a great way off, God knows your every thought. He knows when it's sincere. He knows what's going on with you. His father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto the father, I have sinned against heaven and earth in thy sight and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry for this reason. It's the same thing that God would look to you and he would say, for my son was dead. There was no fellowship. He had run away and now is alive again. He was lost in his own sin behavior and is found. And they began to be merry. What am I saying this morning with this message? Don't wait. Don't wait. He would have to live the rest of his life, even though he was forgiven and he was restored and there was joy. He still had all the scars. He still had all those bad memories. Don't wait. Don't wait to the last chance. Don't wait to the midnight hour for revival. As soon as you see yourself on the wrong road, going in the wrong direction, having the wrong thoughts, that's when you need to seek revival. Amen. Might be today. I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Wow. Revival. Are you in stage one, stage two, stage three? Are you at the midnight hour? Wherever you're at, acknowledge it. Seek the Father. Turn to Him. Revival is awaiting. Rejoicing. Fellowship is waiting. Seek revival before it's too late. God's waiting with open arms. Will you seek Him? Father, we bow before you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this story of the prodigal son and, oh Lord, the understanding that we've received today from his need and chances of revival. I pray, God, that you'd help each one here to apply it to their lives. And if there's anyone here, God, needing revival, you've brought them here today. They've heard your message. Help them to make the application and do what they need to do for revival in their own soul. Bless and work now in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray.